I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Shockphobia Fest!
Welcome to Prattle World. I'm your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And welcome to another edition of Secret Ball Stories, where I invite my guests to count down a personal top five list in high-fidelity fashion. And we've got a corker for you today. Welcome to the very first of Shockphobia Fest. Oh, we've got a good one today. We are counting down our top five Scream Queens with our very own Scream Queen, Rasheen Murchuska. How are you?
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm good.
So I brought you on because you are a huge, huge fan of the horror genre. Yes. And you're a huge fan of Scream Queens in general. Mm-hmm. And you're a bit of a Scream Queen yourself.
Yeah, I'd love to have a career in just horror films as an actor. I think if I could just do that for the rest of my life, I'd be very happy.
And plus you could do every convention under the sun and they would have you. What a great day that would be. It's like, yeah. I love you in this. I love you in that. The bit where the blood fell on your face is amazing.
I
think it's a really kind of untapped genre, I think. And yeah. I feel like nowadays it's kind of coming around and we've got like horror conventions in Manchester all over, up and down.
Yeah, I'm going to For the Love of Horror in a couple of weeks. It's my first time at a horror convention, but I'm just so excited.
It looks like a good one. My friend Dan Burgess, who's a guest.
He's photographer.
Yes. Oh, you know Dan, don't you? Yeah, we did a play in Dan came to take lovely photos of us in our Western garb, wasn't it? With our cowboy hats and stuff. You look great in those photos, actually.
Oh, thank you. So do you.
Oh, well, thank you. I do all right. I'm very Amish. I've got the Amish colours going. the underbeard, kind of the Abe Lincoln look. So, Rasheen, some people might not know what a Scream Queen is.
Right.
Would you like to tell people what the definition of a Scream Queen is?
So, the Wikipedia's definition is a Scream Queen is an actress who has become associated with horror films, either through an appearance in a notable entry in the genre or recurring roles in the genre.
I think that's pretty good. I think it's a kind of it's a little bit of a play on the Scream Queens, isn't it? Like the old style, you know, the female actors, the lead female actors of the kind of the golden age of kind of cinema and stuff.
Yeah, and silent movies and
exactly, and that sort of stuff. So you've got five.
Mm-hmm.
I've got five.
Yes.
Should we get started?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. How do you want to do this?
You are the guest, so I always like the guests to go first. So who is your first one?
Right. Well, it was so difficult because I've got so many favourites. But what I decided to go with are screen queens that I've maybe grown up watching.
Okay.
That just kind of ring true to that. Yeah.
You feel they encapsulate that role.
For me, personally.
For you personally.
So people may disagree. But that's just me.
We like a good discussion here, so I'm sure people will leave their comments and stuff saying how they feel. But I'm really interested. Who is your first one?
So all my top five are in no particular order, but this one, I first actually saw her in films rather than probably her most famous role. But my first Scream Queen is Sarah Michelle Gellar.
What a great shout.
Yeah.
Amazing, yeah.
Because people obviously know her as Buffy.
Yeah.
Which she's brilliant in, but the things I saw her in first was I Know What You Did Last Summer, Scream 2, and then as I got a bit older, there was The Grudge.
Yeah, The Grudge is so good.
Yeah, it's a remake, isn't it? But I think they did really well with it, with The Grudge and with The Ring. I think the America managed to do a good job.
Yeah, I think they got the gist of it at the very least. I mean, it's they're creepy films anyway. I think no matter what you do, you know, these weird kind of ghost children, they're creepy in any language you put them in, no matter what you do.
I know so many people that are like, oh, it's just, I can't, if I want to watch a horror film with them, they're like, are there any ghost little girls yeah. in it? And I think there's a ghost little girl.
Creepy kids, yeah.
Ghost child, they're like, no. And it's just like, that just scares the pants off some people.
I really remember The Grudge because there was a really good moment where she's, Sarah Michelle Gellar, she's on the bus, she's in the arms of a boyfriend, she's like...
everything's safe, everything's daylight.
Cool, yeah, and then she's looking out the window, like, everything's okay, and then it's like... it's like a little ghost kid.
It's the reflection. Yeah. She focuses in the reflection, yeah. and yeah, it
comes out.
Yeah,
brilliant.
They've got some good scares in that one. Like the woman, who bless her, she's being terrorized, and she runs home, and she gets to her apartment where it's all meant to be safe, and she gets into bed.
Yeah,
and you do that thing where you tuck your feet under the duvet, and then all of a sudden she's like, "There's something in the bed with me," and she looks up, and it's a little it's not a little boy, it's the woman. But it's a spooky ghost story, isn't it?
I think it's the noises for me that they make.
Yeah,
that
I've
film.
Never heard them. I'd never heard them use that kind of sound.
Kind of guttural. There's that guttural kind of. It's very much like an Amy Rome type thing. You know, one of our tutors that we had in uni was Alfred Wolfson, wasn't it?
Yes.
Whatever she used to teach us. And the meowing as well from the kids.
Yeah, why?
So freaking. Anyway, we're going off topic. Let's talk about Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yeah. So what is it about Sarah Michelle Gellar which you feel encapsulates being a screen queen?
I think because of her filmography and being in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which was such an iconic film anyway, and then going into that series, it was just brilliant. It really put her kind of on the map, didn't
it? Yeah, in a way, Buffy's like a kind of, it's like shaking up the horror genre because there's the stereotypical, the blonde cheerleader dies.
She always gets killed first.
Yeah, straight away. Yeah. It's like the most beautiful one. And
this is it. I think this is why I like her so much, is she does kick ass. Like, I know what he did last summer. She puts up a good fight with the fish hook.
Yeah, the fish hook killer.
The fisherman killer.
Is that what he's called? The fisherman killer?
I don't think so.
The fisherman.
Oh, the raincoat.
The raincoated fisherman.
It's Scream 2. She puts a really good fight up. I think that's the scene that they take the mick out in Scary Movie, Joe. Yeah. She's running up the stairs and she's throwing like a bike down the stairs.
She's throwing everything down.
She's launching stuff at him.
Don't go up the stairs, bitch.
she just kicks ass. She's great.
She end up out the window, I think.
She goes out the window.
Yeah. I really like her because she's got like a bit of wit as well. There's like humor to her portrayal of all the characters she's played.
Yeah. She knows what she's doing, and I think there's little nods in her performances to the bimbos that have been killed very early on in the films. And I just want to say as well, she was also in Scooby-Doo, wasn't she?
She was.
She got mentioned for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she screamed in that at least once.
Daphne.
But again, very kick-ass as well. I think that's one of the things I've looked for in my screen queens is that vulnerability.
Yeah.
Yet also that strength.
Yeah, because the thing that you associate with horror and screen queens is that the final girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Women have always kind of come out on top in the majority of the films in the horror genre.
Yeah.
Like, by a massive percentage. Mm. And I just think that's really cool.
Yeah,
like women can outsmart the bad guy, beat the bad guy, and
and I think that's what's so great about these screen queens is they are you know, feminist icons in the room. Yeah, we've got, you know, Sigourney Weaver comes back every so often. We've got, you know, Linda Hamilton back this year in Terminator.
Yeah.
You know, and it's an all-female, like, cast, pretty much, minus Arnie, minus the Terminators. They're all, you know, female characters and stuff. But it's great. And I think she's one of my favourite actors, full stop. That's my alarm going off for work. I forgot to turn it off. I'm late. I'm back. Got to be back from my break now. I think she's an incredible talent in Buffy, you know, and there's bits in Buffy, like when I think there's a Halloween episode where she becomes like a ditzy, like, you know, a timid kind of, I think she's a maid or something.
Yeah, she can't help herself. Yeah.
And she, again, she's great. And she's got such a kind of well-rounded wit, strength and vulnerability that is required in these genre films. I think like, you know, I saw those films again before Buffy as well, because probably way too young to watch them again, but
yeah.
it's what you do. And yeah, I used to love them and really dig them. And yeah, and that was my first kind of introduction to her before she turned it around with Buffy and like became this kind of
warrior
princess, if you will.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about Sarah Michelle Gellar? Is anything?
Well, I think I'd probably say this for all of them as well. Is that she's just a great actress.
Oh yeah.
I think it really helps, like, the amount of movies, like, I'll watch any kind of horror movie. I love like a B movie horror, and
you're on the right show then. It's pretty much all I do.
Yeah. And there are a few that you just kind of think, oh, if they were just cast someone a little bit stronger, this film could have been brilliant, or this because the script was so good, etc. And just all these actresses are just fantastic.
They are good. They are good. Right. Well, maybe I should go on to my first one. So this one is, I want to go for someone like, I know you've gone for ones that are like more kind of, my coffee's going cold, isn't it? I forgot about that. Talking too much. Anyway, so yeah, you've been talking about the ones that kind of made a difference to you, like when you were younger.
Yeah.
So I've decided to go, I'm going outside of my comfort zone, try to explore a bit more kind of modern screen queens. And so I've gone for Abigail Breslin. She was in Haunter, Zombieland, and Final Girl. Two of those, I think, are available currently on Amazon. If you want to go watch them. And she's also the star of the TV show Scream Queens. There you go.
Yeah.
With Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, the ultimate Scream Queen. I kind of chose her because her frame is quite small. And she's blonde. She's Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah,
she's Little Miss Sunshine. So
child actress.
Exactly. And she's grown up kind of with us over the years, a bit like a Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
We've seen her kind of grow into her kind of talent and her ability and everything. But again, like you said, she still has this innocence. Mm-hmm. And I think that's quite important in these. Again, she's quite young, so she plays a lot of these young roles.
Mm-hmm.
Haunt is quite interesting because it's a film where she knows she's dead. And she's trying to communicate with the living to stop another murder from happening.
Oh, nice.
So it's kind of like a reverse kind of ghost story.
Usually you'd say the living being haunted.
Yeah, the living are trying to...
What are you trying to tell me?
Tell me! But it's the same thing. But it's the same, you know, tropes and everything for that. But it's the ghost trying to communicate with the living. So it's quite interesting. It's by the guy who did The Cube and Splice. Director of those, so it's a little art housey, but it's pretty cool. I think something Natalie, maybe something like that.
Oh right, okay.
Don't know his name off the top of my head.
That slipped my mind.
Something like that, but I think she's really cool. And Final Girl's really interesting because
have you seen it?
Yeah, I
watched that on. I think it was Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I think it is on there somewhere.
I did not see where it was going. Yeah. To be honest, at first I was like, so is this revenge, or is it, what's the purpose here?
Yeah.
It's very interesting, and she makes a lot of us as well.
So it's, the story is that she's kind of prepared from a young age to kill this group of boys that are kind of abusing and murdering young women. The person who trains her, is kind of, I think, has suffered a loss through them.
Yeah, I think it was his daughter or something like that,
probably.
Yeah, so she's trained since she's like, six or something?
Maybe younger.
Learn to fight, and it reminded me a lot of Kick-Ass with Chloe Moretz
Nicolas Cage.
Training her up, so you had to be Hit Girl.
Yeah.
But no, it was interesting. It was... Yeah, I'd not kind of seen that.
No, I didn't.
That before.
Again, it's another kind of spin on that genre. I think those are kind of the more interesting ones.
It's like original ideas.
Yeah.
A world of remakes.
Exactly. And I think, like, though the actors we've picked for this, like, some of them are, like, they've at least played kind of a Final Girl once, I believe. I think, I don't know on your list, but I know mine, they've at least played a Final Girl once, because I think you have to at least play them once, but they're not necessarily, you know, they'll come back to horror movies and not play that role again necessarily. So I do quite like that. So, I think she's great.
She was in a film, I don't know if you've seen it, called Fear Inc.
No.
Is
it good?
This is really good. And my favourite bit is, like, is right at the end, so I can't even tell. I really want you to watch it.
Is she the lead in it? Or?
She's not. I can't even tell you.
It's just going to be spoilers. No, I've got to watch it now.
Yeah, you've got to watch it.
Right, okay. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, there's a little one. Well, the cast I knew from kind of like indie films.
Yeah.
And then when I saw her, I was like, is that Abigail Breslin?
Yeah.
I didn't know she was in this film. Why have I not heard about this? And there's a reason.
Okay. I'm interested now. I'm intrigued. So I think I went to look for that, but I didn't see her in a kind of big enough role. I was like,
I was like,
I don't know if this is the right one to kind of
get. A little Drew Barrymore kind of role going on there.
All right,
leave it at that.
Interesting. Okay, that's cool. I'll definitely have a look at that. But I think her innocence and her frame again, like, it makes you kind of, you're more worried for her. You're more concerned.
Yeah. You want her to get out of it.
Because again, it's Little Miss Sunshine. I just want to look after Little Miss Sunshine. But she doesn't need looking after, clearly, in these movies. She's, but I think the fact that she can play so much on that vulnerability makes her, as a screen queen, and that turn, that kind of successful turn around at the end.
Like, the character arc and the growth, and she may start off weak, but then by the end of it, she's
You've seen it. Yeah, exactly. You've seen the arc. Well, even with Final Girl, you don't want to mess with her from the start, really.
Yeah, basically. It's always the bookish one. And
the virgin. That's typical.
There's a great bit in Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, yeah.
Where Sigourney Weaver's kind of explaining the archetypes of the five. So you've got the jock, the blonde, busty, blonde. I can't remember what she calls her, actually. I don't think she's like the slag.
There's usually a bitch, isn't there?
The stoner, the joker.
Yeah.
And then the virgin. And the main girl's like, virgin? Sigourney Weaver's like, we had to work.
He'll do. Exactly. So that's that thing. I think she's really cool. I think as a modern screen queen, she's kind of up there kind of everybody else, and the fact that she's in the Screen Queen show, which is obviously a nice kind of play, and kind of, I'm not seen it, I've heard very good things.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm a massive fan of Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk and the series they create. I think they're really rapidly changing television at the minute, and for the best. Like, I love American Horror Story, and then there's like the OJ story. Screen Queens, I wasn't massively impressed with. I think maybe it was aimed at a younger audience, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I was just, I just thought, seen this done before a little bit. Maybe this is for a younger audience, maybe. I'm not sure.
I'll give it a go. I'll definitely give it a go. My friend.
It's fun. It's campy. It's like,
it's a bit silly. But I think she's good. And I'll definitely check out Fear Inc. and maybe Screen Queens as well. We'll see. So let's move on to the next one. What is your number four?
Oh, I don't know who to put. I'm going to go with, tell you what, I'll go with Catherine Isabel.
Okay.
So this is an actress that I first saw in Goosebumps.
Of course.
When we were really little. I think she was in the episode where...
Oh, in the show, the TV show.
TV show. Okay. I think she was in the episode where there was like an evil sponge or something.
Of course,
under the sink.
Standard. I've got one of those.
And I think the premise was that
it's absorbent
from fear. Yeah, I think it absorbs fear and gets even more powerful. And by the end, I think they just discover that, and they just go, "You're nothing but a sponge." And it goes,
"I am a sponge,"
and it just dies. Oh, she keeps it as a pet or something weird like that.
Yeah, Goosebumps did usually have like a twist ending.
It used to terrify me when I was a kid. Goosebumps. I used to love it.
Did you ever see Eerie Indiana? Did you ever see that? That was like a really weird kind of one. I think it only had like a one series or something, but it was kind of like,
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, it's I think it's kind of a cult TV show now.
Eerie Indiana.
Yeah, it's kind of it's kind of something a bit different. But there's Are You Afraid of the Dark as well. I think that's just about
to come back. Which I just saw, which is one of the actors out of the It reboot is in. I spotted him. But yeah, they are kind of remaking everything.
Oh, I think I saw the trailer actually. Is it Ben in It? I think it might be
the new kids.
The one who gets cut up.
It's brutal.
Always horrible.
I watched it the other day with my sister, and she was like, "It's not real though, is it?" I was like, "Of course it's not."
Tell me more about, because I don't really know
Isabel. So yeah, I saw her in Goosebumps, and then probably a most famous role in my eyes is Ginger Snaps, the Ginger Snaps franchise.
Oh yes,
the redhead sister.
Oh yeah, so it's Ginger.
Redhead Snaps.
Redhead Snaps. It's fiery redhead snaps.
But yeah, no, I thought that was a brilliant. It was like an indie film. So it's good. Like so low budget. It was fantastic. I think
so well done.
Oh, it's not. Jeremy's sister. I can't remember the
I know what you mean. It looks a bit exactly like it. Yeah. Jeremy's sister. It's like a younger Jeremy.
Yeah. It's kind of filmed almost like it was made in the 80s, but it wasn't. It's just really cool.
It does have that retro werewolf feel, like the Halloween or American Werewolf in London, that sort of thing.
But I just thought she was fantastic in that. And she's a victim and the villain at the same time.
Which is great as well.
Really cool. But yes, that film was so successful as an indie film, it ended up spawning a prequel and a sequel, which she played Ginger in all three of
them.
So it's done really well. She was also in, I just think this is, we've got to mention this movie, it's ridiculous, Freddy versus Jason.
Which
apparently has like one of the worst quotes, the worst lines in movie history. And then there's a lad in school and he goes, 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. Do you know why they sing that? Because that's when he comes for you.
We get that from the song.
Worst line. But
they're like, improv something now. Do it. You know what they say there? Does sound pretty bad. I can't remember it that well, but I remember the pinball bit where he's like he's throwing like Jason around. He's like ding 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 ding.
Yeah, and Kelly Rowland's in it, and it's so random. Like, how did that film get made? I'd love to know. Like, it was like, yes, I want to see that. I mean,
they did. Yeah. Everybody wanted to see that, I think. Yeah. But, and I think that's why it got made. But yeah, I don't know how good it is. I can't really remember. But I love Ginger Snaps. Again, it's another one of those films that has like puberty as lycanthropy, you know, as werewolfism is a fantastic idea. And they're kind of, you know, they're like, you're growing hair in strange places. It was like, yeah, it's puberty. I've not been bitten by a werewolf.
It's ace.
And also like, werewolf, you know, werewolfism as a sexually transmitted disease as well, which I was like, this is really interesting.
They kind of followed, like, you know, with It Follows, is it a sexually transmitted disease, like, even though it's a monster that comes and kills you. It's probably one of the first films that kind of did that.
I think it's great. And again, it's like, it's, you know, full feet, like main female cast, you know, there is obviously male characters in it, but you know,
it's ace.
And it was just, yeah, like you said, and again, like, it's a screen queen who becomes the villain of the piece.
But she's done this a couple of times, actually, because there's another film, American Mary, which I watched with her in it. Again, quite low budget. And I think you could kind of just say it's a revenge story. Mm. She's brutally kind of attacked at a very weird party that
Is she a med student or
something? Yeah, she's a med student. I think her lecturer / boss, doctor, kind of invites her to this party, and she ends up getting just treated awfully.
Yeah.
And so she plans revenge, and she just becomes, this serial killer.
I think she does have that look about her. She has
switch.
Yeah, she could be like...
I think she's gorgeous as well. I don't think there's any other actresses that look like Catherine.
Yeah, she's got a very unique look. Like, the second you say it's Ginger Snaps, I was like, yes, I know who you're talking about. It's just the name I was like, oh, what's that? I was like, I'm sure I've heard that. And I was like, no.
Yeah,
I think if you're going to watch anything, I definitely watch Ginger Snaps.
Definitely.
And then maybe, like, you know,
just even the opening sequence when it's their art project.
Yeah.
Because you think, oh, this is really weird. Like, are they dead? And then it's like, oh, no, all the different ways you could be murdered.
Like, they're like through the picket fence on the so good, such a good movie.
It's great. Like, I love it.
If any goth girls were, it would be the goth girl movie.
I think, that and The Craft.
Yes,
maybe.
Oh, The Craft.
The remake and The Craft. I hope it's done. We'll see.
Okay, so that was your number four. So I'm gonna rock on to my number four. Something has gone wrong with notes. No, it's back. It's back. There's certain kind of horror actors that are really kind of doggedly protective of the genre and kind of will doggedly protective of the fans and respect the work and respect the, I think a lot of actors will do a horror film to kind of raise their profile and move on. They're like, it's trash, it's rubbish trash that I don't want to be part of anymore. But then there's certain actors that literally are in it because they love it, they enjoy it, it's a challenge, it's you know, it's physically kind of, you have to exert yourself mentally and physically.
It's just a thing of, I think the horror genre is always just kind of, I'm trying to think of the right word, really.
Stepping stone.
Yeah, they don't really, like, I think they kind of, it's like there's no horror films until Get Out, Jordan Peele's Get Out. Like, rarely ever nominated for awards.
Oscars,
I think, obviously,
and stuff,
The Exorcist was nominated in the 70s. But then, yeah, they just kind of are painted with this brush. Like, it's not serious. It's
trashy, low budget. And I think that's not fair. I think there's a couple of actors on my list who really are like, this is for me. This is amazing. I'm going to stick with this.
Great.
And I've chosen Barbara Crampton.
Yes! She's on my special mention.
Excellent. Barbara Crampton, I think, is amazing. She's known for Reanimator, which is one of my favourite films. Mm-hmm. I watched Castle Freak with her in recently, which is another weird and wacky one. And I also watched Chopping Mall again.
Chopping Mall.
Which I think is just cheesy goodness. Mm-hmm. But I think she's fantastic. Again, she's still working in horror films now.
Yeah,
she did Your Next.
We were never really...
Yeah.
We always get this film title written stuff. Like, we're never really here, we never really left, or they're still here.
They were never really there. Who am I? Where's this going? could be any of those titles.
Yeah.
I think she did one recently, Beyond the Gates.
Yeah.
She's currently actually remaking Castle Freak at the moment. Amazing. So, and apparently they're going to kind of expand on the kind of H.P. Lovecraft stuff. I tweeted her. She tweeted me back about watching Chopping Mall. I was like, she's cool. She doesn't look like she's aged a day.
No, it's weird.
It's really
it's bizarre. I don't know how old she is, to be honest.
No, maybe she died and she's still haunting us. But yeah, I think she's really likable. She's fun.
She is.
She's
just nice. And like everyone just says that she's amazing to work with. And she just seems like
she seems like the loveliest person.
Yeah.
And I think she's got a lot of charm to her as well, of charisma. Mm-hmm. And again, it could just be like, you know, I'm going to scream, you know, I'm going to do this. And that's the job. But no, she injects so much character and kind of relatability, and in Castle Freak she's this kind of estranged wife, in Chopping Mall she's this kind of ditzy blonde that wants to get laid, and that's fine, that's a good thing, and she's kind of like, you know, dude man and all that sort of stuff. Reanimator, she's a med student, she's got such a range of stuff. She's been in so many of the franchises as well, like Puppet Master she's in, her name is dotted all over the show, and she's just phenomenal talent, and again a lot of vulnerability, but also a lot of strength as well, and she'll probably go down in history for being the only woman in cinema history to have a severed head go down on her as well. I don't think that's ever going to happen again in cinema, so for good, for better or for worse, that's probably what she's going to be known for
on a tombstone.
I'm just going to write it there. I was in Reanimator, I did that bit.
Yeah, that was me.
I think she's fantastic. She's very kind of active on social media. I think that really helps. She's got a whole...
I think she's working on an anthology movie that's coming out as well. Was it December or something? I can't remember. She does a lot of smaller short films as well. And I'm just like, that's cool. Like, when I see big actors still getting involved in like little short films and
helping out.
Projects. So, passion projects and helping. Yeah, and just being up for it.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great.
Your Next was great, if you've seen
that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think she's not one of the first
I think she's. Is she kind of a bit more of a kind of villainous role in that?
No. So she's one of the innocent ones, her, the mum and dad.
Yeah.
I don't want to give any spoilers away for people that haven't seen it, but the mum and dad are innocent in this, and that's all I'll say.
Mm.
They just wanted a nice Thanksgiving.
Oh, I think I remember now.
Family,
yeah. Let's just have a
yeah.
But yeah, I kind of in the way of kind of the acting industry, I think she's like a proper survivor. I think she's like she's gone through all these kind of genre movies, these B movies, but she's still doing them, and she's still going for it, even at she must be into her 50s now.
I know, but I don't want to call her a relic.
No. Like, she's antique.
She's just been in the game
she's
iconic.
I think that's the best word, and we hope she keeps doing more stuff because she's great. That was my number four, so moving on to the top, your top three.
Again, these are in no particular order, but it's just, I think, I'm going to go with Sigourney.
Sigourney Weaver.
I had to say Sigourney because obviously the Alien franchise, mm-hmm. Ghostbusters, Copycat. Have you seen Copycat before?
No.
This was a film that my mum introduced me to where a string of murders are starting to come out, and I think it's in LA, and they're all mimicking like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Gacy, I think maybe Son of Sam and
Bundy.
And Sigourney Weaver's brought in because she's wrote a book about serial killers, basically, is going on and why they do what they do. And she's working with the police, which is Helen Hunter. Is it Helen? Holly Hunter.
Holly Hunter could
the
be.
The woman of Incredibles.
Yes, Holly Hunter,
yeah. She's playing the police officer in that. And it's just great. It's really good.
Yeah, another one I'll have to add to the massive list I already have.
The Village, she's in Cabin in the Woods at the end, obviously. Mm. And she just kind of... I think I love the fact, I loved Cabin in the Woods anyway, because you've never seen a film like that and they're going, yes, we're taking the mick out of the...
Yeah, the tropes. The tropes are the things of the genre. Film. Yeah.
And so she is kind of laughing at herself during the film, and I just really liked that about her. Mm. And obviously the Alien franchise, that was just terrifying. Because I would say, because people would say, oh no, it's a sci-fi film, and I'm like...
Oh, it's horror. It's horror.
That's terrifying. Yeah. It was, when I was a child.
It's sci-fi. It's definitely sci-fi horror.
Definitely. So I say we could say she's a screen queen. Hmm. Obviously, Ghostbusters as well, showing she did comedy. She's just a fan.
I mean, she still screams in that. I mean, some of the bits are quite scary in Ghostbusters, I really like, I think, I find it really interesting that her part in Alien was originally
a man's
part.
Yeah.
And obviously it was written for a man. But she played it as a woman. I think that was quite game changing. I think the fact that someone could just rock up and they go, oh, because I think the other character in it who is a woman, she's quite hysterical. Mm-hmm. She's constantly screaming and worrying and stuff. And that's her part. But it was interesting to see that strong kind of reserved, female character in such a kind of big kind of, and that only gets expanded upon in the following film where she's like, post-traumatic stress, you know, she's like having nightmares.
Brilliant, because that's similar to in Copycat, because something happens to her in the beginning of the film, which almost kills her.
Yeah.
And so she gets, I always get this mixed up, because it's agoraphobia and agoraphobia.
Okay.
And the one where you can't leave your house.
I believe it's agoraphobia.
Agoraphobia. I've had this conversation recently.
I'm going to go agro.
She can't leave a house.
Can't physically leave a house.
But she needs to help the police
There's no way.
Women and young men are getting killed.
Yeah.
That she has to go through that trauma, that post-traumatic stress, and fight through that.
And again, it's that vulnerability and slowly getting braver throughout the film, and then confronting those kind of demons.
That is definitely the final girl kind of journey.
I think she's probably in the easily. I think Sigourney Weaver would easily be in everybody's top three anyway.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to go for a little bit more obscure ones because that's what this show's all about. But I think everyone would say, way up there. If not number one, she would at least be in the top three, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely.
And she's, what more can we say about her? She's just brilliant.
Yeah.
Everything.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
I think as well, with the, just to add on, Alien must be a horror. The scene with John Hurt, with the...
It's definitely a horror. Who's been telling you it's not a horror?
It's sci-fi. It's not. It's
you
not
can horror. Mix genres.
Yeah, it's got the horror comedies. Yeah. But it's
Evil Dead. Is a horror. Evil Dead 2 is a horror comedy. Yeah. You can mix the genres. It's definitely horror.
Oh, she's definitely one an up and coming screen queen. I will say as well during the remake of Evil Dead.
She's a redhead, isn't she?
Yeah, we'll find it out for later on.
I'm sure we'll Google it. But I think everybody would agree that Sigourney is probably one of the best quintessential, feminine characters. And I don't think the Alien franchise has necessarily recovered from her leaving, really.
Prometheus is okay.
Gosh, even that's a push for me, saying it's okay. I'm like, oh God, I've watched it twice as well. I still hate it. But I thought Covenant was better, but even that wasn't great. But I have a kind of soft spot for Alien 4 a little bit.
Is that the one with the cat?
No, that's the one where they kind of clone her back to life.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's in
which is like a weird...
And there's that scene where there's all the imperfect clones.
Yeah.
And they're like, kill me! And she like burns them all.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's like,
she's crying.
Yeah, she's like,
I'm sorry.
Oh, why did they do this?
Oh, Jane Levy, that's it.
Jane Levy,
that's the name in Evil Dead and Don't Breathe. Joe, the one with the...
Oh, it's the blind man.
The blind man.
It's Stephen Lang, is it?
Mm-hmm.
I think. Yeah, and they're like, and they're doing a sequel to that as well.
I think they are. Yeah, I think they're doing that. And that
she... Don't breathe again.
Well, yeah. No, I think that's...
That's cool. That's cool. Anything else you want to say about Sigourney or any other things you want to mention?
I'm just trying to think what else I've seen. No.
I think she's got a, I mean, she's got a filmography as long as both of our arms, yeah, you know what I mean? So she's done a lot and so many varied roles.
I think she's just another, like you were saying about Barbara Crampton, who's not shying away from the genre.
No, no.
She's not going to turn the nose up at it. I think Sigourney's one of those actresses, hey, if the script's good, if it sounds fun, I'm going
to
do it.
I really liked it. Do you know that Neil Blomkamp was going to do a sequel, but then they decided to do Prometheus instead?
Yeah.
And it was like they were going to ignore Alien 3 and come right off of Aliens. And it was the same characters, but it'd been like, I think their freezing pods or their hibernation chambers, whatever they call them, were going to fail. So they've actually aged in like real time.
Oh,
so they come out, and that's why they look a lot older. But actually, they're still, you know, they're young. I'm still youthful, you know, still 86 or 2086 or whatever year it was. But yeah, no, really, really good choice, I think. Fantastic. I don't think anyone's going to argue with that one. Right, so me, I'm going to go with... where the hell have they gone? I think I've accidentally deleted my notes.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, great.
Well, in other words, with Barbara Crampton...
I did accidentally
delete it. With Barbara Crampton, I was going to mention, like as a special mention, is just the cast of Your Next, because you've got so many up-and-coming screen queens that are... They all tend to work with each other, actually. But Amy Simetz is in Your Next. She plays the sister. She's like, I can run to the car. I can do it. Let me do it for once. And then it's all... But yeah, she's just been in the remake of Pet Sematary.
Cool.
Which is the thing is, I liked it, I enjoyed it, but I just don't find it believable when like a little girl is throwing Harry Henderson's. It's completely gone out my
mind. Lithgow.
Lithgow. Like, 6-year-old girls like nailing John Lithgow, throwing him down the stairs, like stabbing him. It's just not for me. But yeah, but it's better that they changed it to the older child in the original. It's like it's a 2-year old.
But I kinda like that though. It's so creepy.
Well, the thing that creeped me out in the original of Pet Sematary was the weird sister that lived in the attic.
Oh,
that was the own thing, and she's why did you leave me?
Like, it's like
she's so.
She's got like a horrible spine disease or something. Something, and they can't treat her.
I remember watching it when I was like, I must have been like 10, 11. And I was like, this film's a bit meh. And then I saw her and I was like, oh my God, what is that?
That's the, and like, that's like, I think that is like a real disease as well. I don't think it's like a fake disease. I was just like, oh God, this is horrible. Sometimes dead is better. So that's what I say to that. I'm going to move on to my number 3.
Found it.
Yeah, I found it. I did delete it by mistake because I'm clumsy. I'm a clumsy klutz. So my choice is quite a versatile Australian actor. And she's been in quite a few things, done quite a bit, kind of serious roles, comedy roles, drama. It is Melissa George.
Oh, okay.
So she's in 30 Days of Night.
Yeah.
Amityville Horror.
Oh, she's, I miss her. Yeah. Where is she?
I think she's doing a TV show, I believe. I think I checked her IMDb and I think she's doing like a...
I mean, they might go and have kids and where you do a bit of theatre, you never know.
Who knows? Yeah. Might come back. She's also in, I think her best film is Triangle.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen Triangle, that's good.
I've not seen it, I've only seen it the once.
Yeah, me too.
I remember being like, holy crap, this is dark.
It's a tightly written film and it's well performed.
It's not psychological, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's this weird, I don't want to spoil it, but it is a kind of a time loop thing. Mm-hmm. And they keep reliving like this over and over again. Mm-hmm. And there's this killer after them, and they're like, what is this? And it's, I think there's things saying, is this kind of a purgatory kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Are they in the kind of Bermuda? I think they call it like, I think they're going in the Bermuda
Triangle.
I think so. I think something weird goes on anyway.
Yeah.
But she is fantastic. She goes on such a journey in that film, such a roller coaster of ups and downs, and it is very much a blood, sweat, and tears type movie. Yeah. And it's very brutal and very full on. And it's quite disturbing as well. It got me hooked. There's not many like horror films that I'm like, I'm nailed to my seat and just watching.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. And she's just
so fried.
Yeah, I was exhausted by the end of it, definitely. But it's quite good. I think she's another one that takes these roles quite seriously as well. Like it's not just like a flash in the pan type thing. It's not like I'll do this and I'll get, you know, my next Oscar worthy film. Like I watched Turistas, which is in,
right.
Where they basically go to Brazil and then they get kind of kidnapped into this kind of organ transplant thing.
Yes.
And she actually learned Portuguese while she was filming. But yeah, I mean, like we said, she's able to, again, she could easily move away from these roles. I think she has done in later years, but they are, I mean, you've done them. They are kind of, these screen queen roles are quite strenuous on your vocals, you know, mentally, physically.
Oh, well, like Lupita Nyong'o on Strong Peel's Oz, when I heard her, the other her,
yeah,
I could not believe that was her voice. Mm. I was thinking that must be another actress, but then I was like, why would they hire in another? I just couldn't see them bringing just a voice actress for that role. And then when I read afterwards that she had like three different kind of vocal coaches on set with her to make sure that she wouldn't damage her voice. Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah,
it's just honestly
not seen. I saw Get Out, but I've not seen Us yet.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I won't say anymore.
I'll say anymore.
She's brilliant. I think if. She should definitely get a bit of
a nod. Some nods
for that.
We need more nods, I think. A lot more nods need to be going towards the horror.
Absolutely.
Doing the horror stuff. But I always feel like she has a very quiet, reserved strength in these movies. And she kind of holds herself in a way, even when she's absolutely devastated in what's going on, what's happening to her. But she kind of holds it in, and then it all like comes out right at the end in the kind of dramatic finale, and she just, you know, lets loose this.
Well, she plays, I think, she's the mother in quite a film, isn't she?
Yeah.
And I think
she's a mother in Triangle as well, yeah.
Yeah, mother in Triangle, mother in the Amityville.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Horror. And I think, that's rarely done where it's a mother as the screen queen.
Yeah.
Because obviously you're going to have that.
It's the virginal thing again, isn't it?
Yeah, over your children, and that protection over your children. Mm. And I think that probably would give you more of an edge, to be honest, because you're not just fighting for your life.
No, exactly.
You're fighting to save the family.
Exactly. It's the kind of maternal instinct.
Yeah.
And that kind of fire comes out. I know. I wouldn't want to corner my own mum at any point. So I can definitely see that. But yeah, highly recommend. If you're going to watch any of her films, Triangle is the one. But I think she's a phenomenal talent and deserves to be in more things and be lauded for all of the work she does. So that was my number three. Mm-hmm. So moving on to your number two.
So this might be a bit of a controversial one. I think she is a screen queen. I think not even just from a filmography, but just for the role she plays in these movies is just kind of right. Well, anyway, my next screen queen is Toni Collette.
Okay,
Australian as well.
Okay.
So
Muriel's Wedding.
Exactly. You're like,
I mean, it's the horror classic, you know.
But yeah, I know. So. Obviously, she played the mum in The Sixth Sense, which was just never been done before. And I just always remember watching her. And she's going through it because it's her son, Cole, that she has no idea what's really happening.
Yeah.
She just doesn't, like, her family's kind of been torn apart. Like, a little boy is really ill. He's getting shit at school and she doesn't know what the fuck's going on. But she's brilliant in that. And there's a scene that I always remember with her when she sat in the car with him. They're stuck in traffic because there's been an accident, and he says like, "Oh, it's the woman got knocked off the bike," and then and he just finally tells her, she's just fantastic. And there's a bit about the ballet recital and the bumblebee pendant, and like that, and she just knows that. But yeah, so loved her in that. She was in the Hitchcock movie as well, which I think was the TV movie, Fright Night remake. Krampus. Have you ever seen Krampus?
You know what? No, I'd love to.
It's brilliant. I thought it was just going to be a horror comedy. But there's some bits in it, and I was literally like, holy shit, no, that's really scary. Like, there's some really creepy bits in it. But she plays the mum in that, so again, looking after the family. But it's hilarious because they've got, like, the relatives over for the Christmas holidays, and everyone's just a bit of an asshole, basically. Like, the kids are assholes.
Sounds like every Christmas.
And you just think, what's going to happen here? And the Krampus is like the opposite to Santa Claus, isn't it? And it's like this weird
Anti-Claus, if you will.
Anti-Claus, this kind of goat demon. with massive hooves and chains, and it's just fantastic, honestly. It sounds awful, but it's brilliant. Like, the toys come to life. And
instead, oh, man, I'm sold.
He's got, like, instead of, like, little elves that Santa has, he has, like, these goblins that come down the chimney and wreak havoc. And, like, people die in it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like she's get away with things. Like, this next film, Hereditary.
Oh, Ari Aster's
Hereditary.
Again, not see. I saw Midsommar.
Oh, brilliant.
Saw Midsommar, but I haven't seen Hereditary yet.
It's interesting because I saw Hereditary first and then went to see Midsommar. And I think, you know, I did the stupid thing and I watched every single trailer and I
expected something.
Yeah.
You didn't get.
But I think had I not watched everything, I would have been over the moon with it. But it was still brilliant. But Hereditary is, again, psychological horror. I think what Ari Aster does is he takes things that are safe, like family home, and he makes them not safe anymore.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the
I can definitely see that. Yeah, I can see that in Midsommar a lot.
Yeah, of course. The themes in that are just intense. But yeah, Toni Collette's performance in Hereditary, I genuinely thought she would have been nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
I think she was absolutely fantastic. And what I think of when I think of Hereditary is this face that Toni Collette's pulling in the film. But it's brilliant. I don't want to give too much away because you've seen it.
You're doing very well not to spoil any of these movies for me, I have to say.
Yeah. There's so many things that I want to say, but she's fantastic.
Everyone will know what you're talking about. They'll be up on that. They'll be up on that stuff.
The scene with the car, the scene with the thing.
Yeah.
She's brilliant. Yeah. And she goes through a hell of a lot in this movie. And her performance is just ridiculous. It's just phenomenal. And I love that someone asked her, because it's that intense. Someone asked her after a screening, like, oh my gosh, how did you deal with putting yourself through that, blah blah blah, and she just turned around and she ran, well, it's only a movie, like, I could just picture it, like, she's just like, acting. it's just acting.
Why don't
you try acting, my boy?
I used to make a joke. I was like, oh, Toni Collette's in this. Does she play somebody that's a bit weird? and in all seriousness, she plays a lot of characters that have this kind of mental kind of fragility.
Mm.
And she does it to a T. Like, all credit to her. She does it to an absolute T. I'm like, it's a very believable. It's not like, I'm crazy. You know, it's very like, you know, I'm seriously mentally ill.
Or
I've probably, like, about a boy. She's in About Boys, isn't she?
Oh, she's
and she's great in that. And you know, these Muriel's Wedding as well, things like that. You know, she plays these very kind of vulnerable, you know, mentally fragile characters, and that's what she does. You know, but it's cool that she can go across the genres. She can be in, like, is it In Her Shoes with Cameron Diaz, and
she also did stuff like that. Velvet Buzzsaw. I don't know if you watched that recently with Jake Gyllenhaal.
I've not. It looked interesting though. Killer paintings.
Yeah. I think. I liked it, but I don't know if they lost halfway through what they wanted the movie to be.
Didn't know how to end it.
Wait, is this a comedy? Yeah. Is this an art house film? Is it a thriller? Like, it just kind of felt a little bit lost.
Looks like a literal art house film.
Yeah. Maybe it would have worked better as a TV series.
Could this? Is it Netflix?
It's on Netflix. But I'd definitely give it a watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, just for performance in Hereditary alone and to Krampus. It was great.
Honestly,
watch it this Christmas.
I definitely will. I'm very much into my alternative Christmas films.
Oh, if you want another great Christmas horror, You Better Watch Out.
You Better Watch Out, okay.
Yeah, it's a babysitter. Babysitting gone wrong, and you'll never watch Home Alone the same again.
Okay. I might have it, I think I've got it. And it's just waiting for that time of year. Very good. I think that was a good chat. Maybe not your quintessential screen queen, but I think the shame. I'm a bit ashamed that I didn't notice the t-shirt you're wearing until now. Rasheen's t-shirt says "Screen Queen" on it.
I literally be like a pajama top or something, but it's fine. Yeah,
I mean,
I need to get a new Halloween one this year.
Oh yeah,
I'm going to Hills of Hell, which is a night on the 29th of October at the Ritz in Manchester, and it's got about seven of my favourite drag queens.
Nice.
RuPaul's Drag Race. Nice. Gonna be there.
And it's like horror, it's horror themed.
Yeah, it? Yeah, because it's all the kind of gothy, dark kind of drag queens like Sharon Needles.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great.
I think we watched it in, we watched it in Edinburgh, of a friend, yeah. Yeah, with Sharon Needles.
Yeah, Angela. Sharon Needles, Alaska, Dolly Alice, yeah. I'm very fucking excited. But there's a top that I want to get that says Hello Queen.
Of course.
Like, yes.
Of course. Definitely. I saw the first episode of UK one last night.
Oh, did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It was a bit different, but yeah. I was like they're really going full on for the UK vibe.
Yeah.
I was like, the Queen. Sure.
I don't think a lot of people outside of the UK will get some of the references, no. Any of the references,
or understand half the accents. I think.
No. I think everyone's been watching it with subtitles.
I think even we did. Okay, moving on to it's my number two, isn't it? So I'm going to go with another kind of actor, much like Barbara Crampton, who. Right. Wait.
Oh, so great.
Oh, I thought you said what? I thought wait. I was like, what? Oh, no, great.
Go okay. On.
So it's a lot like Barbara Crampton, who has kind of dipped her toe in the genre a little bit early on in her career and then came back to it in a big way. And it's Shawnee Smith.
Yeah.
So Shawnee Smith is from the 1988 remake of The Blob. Mm. She's in that. And in several.
She must be so young in that, right?
Oh, she is. She's a proper cheerleader, yeah.
Oh.
But I think she ages well, though. Again, much like Barbara Crampton.
Yeah.
As an age
it's
today.
The genre. This is why I want to get into.
Keep
the blood pumping to my face.
So young. That's it. Maybe they're all just, like we said, maybe they're all just ghosts just floating about. Yeah. We're immortal now. The cinema. She was in Saw, a lot of the Saw films. And she's also the host of the reality show Scream Queens as well, which was had James Gunn as a host or a judge
There's a couple. Oh, where's there's some that I saw. Someone recently who was like a guest judge. Hmm. It was another Scream Queen. It's Debbie Rochon.
Yeah.
The only reason why I want to give her a special mention is because on IMDb she's done the most horror films.
Really?
145 horror films she's been in. So she was a guest judge on that.
Well, there you go. Well, she's the best person to do it. I think she's been in a lot of trauma stuff and a lot of the
Traumaville
stuff, which is just gore upon gore and bad taste and all those things. I did watch I watched Poltergeist. Which is probably one of the most offensive films I've ever seen.
No.
It's so offensive.
Oh,
but
gosh.
If you're okay with being offended, no matter who you are.
Did they turn into zombie chickens?
They do, yes, they do. And there's a bit where they grow two eggs like breasts, and then the birds come out of the eggs.
I think I've seen clips of it.
Yeah, it's quite the watch, I have to admit. If you're easily offended, definitely don't watch any of the trauma films anyway. But yes, Shawnee Smith. Going back to Shawnee Smith,
the TV show that she did, I think the winner won a part in one of the Soul films. I'm sure it was the girl who had to cut her arm off, or something like that. Like yeah, so the winner of that. Because they were all actresses.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I'm sure like even one of the challenges, they had to scream, like, and get their best scream. But
and then throw blood in their mouth and things like that.
But yeah, that was, it was good for Shawnee to do that. So she was like winner role in
my
franchise.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's going to be at that for the Love of Horror with Tobin Bell,
who was Jigsaw from Saw. Yeah, brilliant. But yeah, it's quite, you kind of, between Saw and like The Blob, you can see kind of developed her skills. You can see that there's quite a lot of, because the character, I think it's Saw's kind of like a junkie or like a drug addict or something. And then she kind of turns her life around.
Gets out.
Yeah, She's the only survivor.
The gay.
Yeah, yeah. So
she ends up.
Yeah. Spoilers. Spoilers, yeah. But yeah.
To be honest, you get a bit lost by they cast the same looking men in the Saw films.
So I've only seen the first two now.
Right. Well, but by the time you get to like four and five, you're like, but wait, sick. I thought you were dead. Yeah. And you're like, oh no, that was the other guy. So who the fuck are you then? Mm. And it's quite confusing because all the cast look very similar. And I don't know if that was a choice.
maybe.
To make it confusing, but yeah, there's a...
I mean, it can be confusing, I think. Yeah. I think Saw 2 is supposed to have like 5 different endings, apparently, before they even chose one.
So. Yeah, because you find out, I think, like 6 is actually between the films 1 and 2.
Oh, really?
It does get confusing.
Yeah. Well, I've not delved into
it
fully.
Let it die.
Yeah, I've not delved in that far. I've just seen the first one and the second one. But I think The Blob was great. I really love the special effects and The Blob. Yeah. There's all this kind of...
This is the thing. I really think that horror and just movies in general should really not have to use CGI unless there's no way they can do it, because there's something about these horrors in like the 80s and 90s that they didn't have CGI, they had to make it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just makes it even creepier, like with The Thing.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
The aliens that they create. It's like, how the heck did they do that? I'm like, Return of the Living Dead. And there's so many. Yeah, I just think they're missing a trick there.
I think in The Walking Dead, they marry the two quite well. They use practical, and then they're like, they have all practical kind of like zombie effects, but then they're like digitally removing art.
Yeah, like in Game of Thrones, like the White Walkers. Yeah, like they'll put a green sleeve on the arm and paint bits of them green.
Exactly, and they'll do that. I think there's a world that we can use both. I think there's, and I don't think there's necessarily this war that, or there has to be this war between them. I think you find them, you marry them together in the best way. But also, I think a lot of people complain of like bad CGI and stuff and bad effects and all that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is the way you shoot it as well.
Yeah.
I think it's the camera work you do. You can hide it in certain ways, like Spielberg did with Jaws.
Yeah.
There's ways to mask and editing and cutting around it and things like that.
I was watching, just really quickly, I was watching an interview with Rob Zombie he was on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, nice.
Because obviously he's just done Free From Hell.
Sid Haig just died as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he was meant to be for The Love of Horror with Bill Moseley, so we're really gutted about that. But there's going to be a nice tribute for him.
Oh, that's
And I think he signed some things already, so we might get something like that.
Yeah.
But Rob Zombie was saying in the Halloween remake, he worked with, did a little boy from Spy Kids.
Yeah, he's the bully, isn't he?
He's the bully. And he was saying, like, when this kid was working on Spy Kids, he was acting to a green screen most of the time. Yeah. And they were like, right, just react to whatever's there. And he's like, but what is it? Is it a monster? Yeah. Is it my mum? Like, react how?
Exactly.
So I think unless you really need to do it, maybe.
I like it when they, fair enough, they do like green screen and stuff, but I like it when they make like a physical version of something that's going to be a CG character. Yeah. Like they made like a full-scale Hulk. Yeah. So they're like, imagine
that's
this is
how big he's gonna
that's
be.
That's the height, that's the width of his arms, you know, that's what you can expect from
that's
when you imagine
helpful.
It.
That's
yeah, exactly. For an actor, just go, from an actor's perspective, you need
it's like a ping pong ball.
Yeah, you're like, that's Thanos. Oh no. You know. Okay, sure. I think it does help, like from the acting perspective. Mm. I think you definitely need just a little bit of something to kind of ground you in that in the realness of the scene. I really, really like the scene in Saw 2 where she falls into the pile of needles.
Ouch! Yeah, that's a dark one.
So the jigsaw wants them to find a specific needle within a pile of needles, like a needle in a haystack. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be this one guy it's like his game.
Yeah,
but he's like this evil drug dealer. He throws her in, and she's like, again, a drug addict.
He's trying to help her, isn't she? And he goes, "You can do this." And
he throws her in, and she's like, "Ah." And weirdly, apparently a real needle did fall in that pit for real. So they had to literally like pull out, they had to do the game, pull out every needle and find the one that was real. Can you imagine?
No.
So this is just horrendous. And you feel every second of her she starts really tearing through them as well. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, how much pain must be. And they're not clean needles either. They are dirty needles.
Dirty
needles. But I think she's one of these, has a cool reserve, but can like, you know, spin on a dime and give you like just full on rage.
She's got
full
like great access to her emotions, hasn't she?
0 to 11 instantly. And I think that's very hard to do just in general. And the fact that she can go 0 to 60, if you will, is an incredible talent. And I think she's just brilliant all over. So Shawnee Smith, definitely check her out. Is there anything else you want to say about her? again, a survivor in the kind of genre in the franchise, and that's basically what the Saw movies are about, is survival.
Like what happens with her character throughout the movies, it's kind of like that saying that you can die a hero, you live long enough
to see that.
She gets a bit too attached to Jigsaw, shall we say? Mm. But yeah.
There you go. So that was my number two. Yep. So rolling on to your number. Is your number one?
So shall I do any special mentions now before top ones revealed?
I mean, I can do mine as well if you'd like. I can do. I'll tell you what. You do your special mentions. Do your number one, and then I'll do my special mentions. My number one. We'll do that way.
So just some special mentions is an actress called Danielle Harris.
Yes,
because she was in the original. I think it was Halloween.
Four, five, and six.
It's not the same actress. As she gets older, but then she's also been in the Rob Zombies.
Halloween.
Up until the recent sequel, should say, not a remake.
Yeah,
she was the only actor to have been in the original and the remake. Sheriff's daughter.
Yeah,
but she's also done.
And she was a child. She was a child in those early films as well.
Yeah, she was a child, like born into the. Screen queen.
Yeah, I mean it's very rare that you get like horror films now that I think we're having a comeback now with Stranger Things and stuff.
Yeah,
but for a while it was not many horror films that had the protagonist as a child, or many that even had them as adults. It's mostly like teens, mostly.
Yeah, definitely. The most part. And she was in, I don't know if you've seen any of The Hatchet.
No, I've not, but I would like
Victor
to.
Victor Crowley. It's interesting because, like, it's, to be fair, there's a few kind of horror legends in these movies, but they're just grotesque. Like, he just can't be killed, and it gets a bit ridiculous. But if you're a big fan of horror film, you're going to enjoy them. It's fun.
I hear it's kind of like a retro callback to all those kind of classics. Yeah. And stuff, so.
But I just thought I'd give her a little mention.
Well, she's one of my honorable mentions as well.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
She was in Urban Legend as well. I think she played the goth girl that gets she gets killed whilst her roommate's in the room.
She
thinks she's having some rough sex. She's like, how? She's like getting killed.
And they're like, she's loving this.
Yeah, she just puts headphones in, like, you're such a bitch. Yeah. Letting her get killed. She's in something else as well that I thought, oh yeah, of course, it's another like small part, but it's all within the horror genre. So I just think she's like a good
shout. Yeah, again, she's on my honourable mentions as well. Anybody else you want to mention?
So Betty Gabriel, who was in Get Out, she played Georgina the maid. In Get Out, she's fantastic. The bit where she's like, no, she's just fantastic. She's been in like the Purge films and like other horror films. Dee Wallace,
yes, she's one of mine as well.
I grew up watching Howling, Critters, E.T.
I think she's another one of these kind of maternal characters,
because she's in she plays the villain in The Frighteners as well with Michael J. Fox. Have you ever seen that?
I have, but it's been a while.
It's where he's like, he can see ghosts and like they're friendly with him, so he kind of
buddy cop ghost thing, isn't it?
It is, but they're just a couple of.
I didn't realize it was her. She was the villain. I didn't realize it was her.
Oh well, that's a bit of a twist. Sorry, I shouldn't have really said that.
So I've seen it though, so I must know. I must know it. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh, brilliant. Any others?
I saw Ma recently with Octavia Spencer, and that was ace because I've watched Octavia for years.
She's kind
of playing like the sidekick roles and the comedy roles. Yeah. So it was brilliant to see her as like the antagonist, as like this character. It's fantastic. To be fair. It's a really good original idea. It's a really great concept, and she's just brilliant as a villain.
I bet she
could play a villain more often.
Because again, it's like she's got that kind of that. You look at her and you think, oh, she's lovely. She must be a really nice lady.
I think she must be. If she could stick with, if she could make a few more films in the horror genre, I think she'd be up and coming. Like
in the running for something.
Yeah,
it's kind of a new horror icon kind of thing.
And as well, like, do you remember? This is such a small part, but I thought it was one of the creepiest killings in the Scream franchise is Jada Pinkett Smith.
In the cinema. Yeah.
How horrible is that?
Yeah.
That's probably, like, that's just a nightmare because it's like when you're in a nightmare and you're screaming for help and everyone's just like, oh, like they think it's part of it.
You're like, oh, you're playing around. Yeah, she's actually dying.
There's some nods. And then obviously the woman, Debbie Rochon. With
145 horror films.
Yeah.
God, I think I would be dead after that. Like, Jesus, that's too much.
Yeah. I think my number one, I think she's the reason I've chosen her is because she's the epitome. When you say Scream Queen and her mother as well, you just think Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes, of course.
And she did do Scream Queens and she did the Halloween franchise, obviously. But then she was also in like Prom Night, she had the Fog.
Yeah. Prom Night, the scariest scene in Prom Night is when she does some disco dancing.
Yeah.
That's probably my favourite.
Oh, that's what I was going to say about Danielle Harris as well. Mm. She was in, do you know what? It's just Black Christmas,
which
they are remaking again.
I watched the trailer the other day. It looks very different.
Very different. I think it's been written and directed by a female this time.
Okay, that's cool.
I think they're like... I'm excited to see.
Yeah, that's been interesting.
I think they've got something to say.
I really love the original.
It's so creepy.
It's so good. I think technically, it's kind of the original slasher because it was before Halloween.
Yes, you're right.
I think it had all those tropes before Halloween.
I don't know what year was it, because Texas Chainsaw was before.
Yes. Is
it Black Christmas and Texas and?
I think it's Texas, Black Christmas, Halloween. I think Halloween 79. I think Black Christmas 74. And I think Texas is 72.
Yeah.
I would say those three for me are those defining. I mean, you could argue Psycho is original.
And this is it with Jamie Lee. So obviously, Tony Curtis and Janet Leigh.
Yeah.
Brilliant actors anyway. Yeah, Tony Curtis, I think I know him best for Some Like It Hot. Obviously Janet Leigh, just iconic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just that scene, she was the first, I don't know what you'd call it, where the star is
the star,
really early on.
The kind of Sarah Michelle Gellar type, or the Drew Barrymore type. I guess you've got Final Girl, First Girl, could you say? Yeah, I don't know.
Just it's
surprise kill.
Yeah, it just kind of throws the audience off because they go, oh, great, Janet Leigh.
This is the film.
This is the protagonist.
Yeah,
exactly. They're going to watch her and then she gets killed and they go, well, what the hell's going to happen?
I find that about a lot of the Hitchcock films is they start off as one film. And you're like, okay, it's this crime drama or something. And then all of a sudden it's like, the birds are attacking. You know, it's like it comes out of nowhere. You're like, okay, it's this film now. It's kind of like It Dusk Till Dawn. It's like, you know. Yes. It starts off as one thing, you get to the middle, you're like, okay, it's totally this thing, but I'm still okay with this thing, even though it's totally different.
Yeah.
But yeah, really, really. Well, I think Jamie Lee Curtis is brilliant. I watched her in Terror Train, which is a cool one. It's like a New Year's Eve party on a train, and the killer takes on the costume of the people they kill.
Yeah.
So it keeps kind of moving throughout. So it's kind of like a nice whodunit as well.
Yeah.
Like, which was cool.
What's the moment? Like murder mystery on a train.
Orient Express.
I was going to say the Polar Express.
Polar Express. Now, that's a very different movie. I don't think there's any murders on that.
Jamie Lee Curtis, she's just fun. She's just brilliant. And I'd waited, when I heard that they were going to do the sequel to Halloween, and just kind of go, just forget everything else you've seen. He is quite supernatural as a killer, Michael Myers, because he gets shot a bunch of times and he survives. But I think the way they went with all the sequels, if I'm not knocking them, but it was like he was
became more of a became more of a, like a Jason Voorhees type unkillable.
Unkillable. And she did obviously the Halloween H2O,
it was good. That's a good film. Like that. You could have ended it there.
Like, yeah.
There's several different like Halloween timelines now. So there's the latest one, which is just Halloween and a new Halloween.
And there's loads of little nods to all the other films.
There is.
Halloween 3, which had nothing to do with Michael Myers.
Exactly,
Season of the Witch, because originally that's what he wanted to do.
It's like an anthology.
Yeah, he wanted to go, it's just a bunch of movies that just happen to be set on Halloween. But because Michael was so popular with audiences, they had to bring it back. But that the sequel that they made that came out last year, that was what I'd been waiting for ever since I'd seen the first one. I was like, that's it. So that's the end. And now they're bringing out two more films.
Yeah, with John Carpenter on the...
Everyone's back. But I love the fact it's... Is it Danny McBride?
Danny McBride.
Comedy actor. Yeah.
He wrote the newest, he kind of sort of wrote the newest Alien film as well. I think he had a hand in it with Ridley Scott. And that's why he's in it, I think, as well. But I think I enjoyed the Halloween film more than the Alien film.
Yeah.
I loved that it was all about this kind of, this trauma had kind of a trickle-down effect for the whole family.
Yeah, and you see what she would have actually been like. Because that trauma.
Yeah. And I like that they reenact a lot of the shots of Michael Myers as her. Like, mm-hmm. she's become this mentally disturbed woman because of this trauma. And again, she's not had a good relationship with her daughter. She's not had a good relationship with her granddaughter. She just can't handle it. She breaks down at dinner, you know. But again, it's very much that, you know, that sisterhood thing. And that they confront their demons by confronting him.
There's a brilliant bit at the end where the daughter is stood there with a shotgun and she goes, "Mom, I can't do it, can't do it." And he gets up on the stairs and she goes, "Got ya."
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Amazing. Really good. Some people didn't really enjoy that one, but I got a lot out of it.
That was all I'd ever wanted.
Yeah.
Honestly.
That's it. Call it a day.
I'm such a big fan of that. So I'm interested to see what they are going to do with the next two films. But I think they're bringing in... They're bringing the kids back. Do you know the ones that she's babysitting in the original?
Right. They're grown up. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah, so they're bringing the original cast back for that, which is great.
That's interesting.
I think it's the lad. Do you know the one he played? Oh, I can't remember his name, but he played. I think it's something C. Hall.
Michael C. Hall?
Not Dex. Is that Dexter?
Maybe.
It's the lad. He plays the bully in Edward Scissorhands, and he's a geek and everything else. And we just kind of go,
I can't remember his name.
But yeah, he's being brought back as a little boy.
Oh, that's interesting.
I've
not heard much about the sequel. I've just heard that the Carpenter's coming down back for the music.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty much all he does nowadays. I think he just does kind of the music for stuff. Mm-hmm. He's got a comic book coming out, funnily enough.
Has he?
He's written a one-off Joker comic book, John Carpenter, which I have pre-ordered because I was like, I've got to read that.
Are you going to see Joker?
Yes, very soon. On Tuesday, I'm going to go see it. So it's a controversial film, say the least, but I think I have to see it.
Yeah.
I can't not see it.
Yeah.
So I'll just have to wait and see for that one. But moving on to my number one. So you mentioned Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to bring up the woman that was put through hell in that movie.
And was making the movie.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Marilyn Burns. Yeah. So she's in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Eaten Alive, which is not very good, unfortunately. Oh. It's not very good. She's basically tied to a bed for the whole film, unfortunately. And she's also in Helter Skelter, which is about Charles Manson. I think she's arguably maybe the first Scream Queen, like we were saying, like the timeline kind of fits that way. Jamie Lee Curtis, that is kind of her title anyway.
It's just who you picture.
Yeah, exactly. The second I hear those words, I go... Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis every time. But I think this is when I think, you know, what's great about Texas Chainsaw Massacre is everybody dies quite quick.
Yep.
Like within, you know, half an hour of the film, pretty much everybody's dead apart from her.
Yeah.
And she has to deal with everything. She's outnumbered. She has no resources. She's got, you know, she's injured. She's slashed. She's cut.
And she was in the making of it, I think, at one point. Didn't she get a razor? Like,
I think so, yeah.
The thing with a razor.
There's a bit where she's being hit with a broom, and that was, they were like, stop pretending to hit her with a broom, really hit her with a broom because it looks fake.
Oh my
God. You really hit her with a broom.
The grandpa with the hammer, like apparently that's a real hammer.
Yeah, and kind of caught her head and stuff, I think it was obviously very, very extreme filmmaking.
They say it was made on like a shoestring budget, but I think it was still like... 500,000.
Yeah, still quite. Dollars. Yeah, it's still. Yeah. You need some money to do stuff. But
it was based on a Gein.
It was, yeah. Much like Psycho and Silence of the Lambs as well, all based on Ed Gein to some degree.
Of course, I didn't think Psycho.
Yeah, Psycho was, I mean, it was kind of, I think, a few years after Ed Gein, but they decided the creepier aspect was to make it the boy next door as opposed to the weirdo on the edge of town. So they were like, no, we'll make it the boy next door because you wouldn't suspect that. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Silence of the Lambs, he makes the suits.
Yeah.
And Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they make all the mask and the lampshades and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Which
they're remaking Texas.
Again.
Did you say Freddy or Feed Alvarez who did Evil Dead?
Breathe. Okay.
So
it could be good. Could be pretty good then.
That's what I would say, because it's done pretty well so far.
I thought the Evil Dead remake was really good, actually.
I do. I think
it's very, very different, but I like it. But yeah, I think Marilyn Burns is just, like you said, she went through hell on the set and in the film, and you can tell, and she screams constantly. She's constantly screaming. Like she wins the Scream Queen contest because she's just constantly screaming throughout that film. And who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be? There's such a disturbing... idea to have. And, you know,
it gives me the creeps still, like when I watch that film, so just think that could be bloody happening right now. Yeah. And we'd have no idea.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And that's the terrifying aspect of it. And what's interesting about Texas Chainsaw Massacre as well is, you know, a lot of these horror films, we see the women get the revenge, don't we? We always see them, they either kill them off or disable them or get sent to jail in some form. The creepy thing about this doesn't happen.
No, she just manages to get
She manages
away.
Just to get away. And
the back of a bloody
mattress. And she's still screaming and screaming. And then she got away and then she does this kind of maniacal laugh. She's like, I got away.
I've seen a gif of her like laughing off the back of the van. It's like when you get out of work early.
that is spot on, yeah. But I think she's just, it's just a heck of a film. Still, like, I watched it the other day. I hadn't watched it in years. And it's just still as kind of stark and as gritty and grim as it's ever been. And you know, and harrowing, just harrowing kind of affair. And and
she's no longer with us, I believe. Is she?
No, she passed away a few, I think 2015, I want to say. But she was you know, that film will live on. She actually returned to the franchise twice, actually.
She
was in the one with, I think it's called Beyond the Next Generation, Texas Chainsaw
Massacre. Is that the one with Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey?
Yes, it is that one. I think she turns up as... Yeah, I know, right? so they've clearly moved on to better things, quote-unquote better things. But she also turned up in one of the remakes, I think.
So this is where I get confused, because I've seen them all, but then I'm like, which one was which? Because obviously there was the 3D one.
Yeah, I think it was 3D, I think.
Was it?
Yeah,
there's,
I think
one
so.
One where she turns out to be his cousin, the girl with the really blue eyes. What's that
Oh, God, I love her.
She's gorgeous.
Alexandra Daddario, she is, I think, one of the most gorgeous women.
She's brilliant.
Yeah. And talented, obviously, but yeah.
No, but she's stunning. When I saw her, I was like, holy hell. But yeah, so she turns out to be his cousin and is like really...
Yeah, it's very much...
She's like killing cuz at the end. I'm like, you had me until that.
Yeah.
But then they're doing... there's been like Leatherface, which is a prequel. There's an actor called Sam Strike in that. You started on EastEnders.
I'd like to watch that one.
It's all right.
Seems interesting.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, I think. I enjoyed it. And they're really clever as well, because I can't tell you. It's just you think someone is someone, and then you go, he can't be him.
Oh, is it the policeman? Is it something else? Sorry. I'm thinking of one of the other remakes.
Basically, they don't say who Leatherface actually is.
Oh, okay. So it's a kind of a mystery thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking of the...
They're all kids. It's all like...
I was thinking like one of the remakes.
There's one that follows Susan.
This it's Ali Ermi, who's the drill sergeant in
he's oh my gosh, his filmography is ridiculous. He's either a sergeant, a drill sergeant, a vet,
it's just military.
All of his filmography is just military, and he's done like 80 things.
Well, he used to be a military. He was in the military. He was a drill sergeant, and that's why he's so good in Full Metal Jacket.
Same. Yes, he just plays the same character. Yeah.
It works. It's because he's so good at it. And he was a military advisor, and then he started doing films. And he's even in like his voiceover is in X-Men 3. All sorts of stuff. He's brilliant. I think he's on a... I don't think he's on any with us any longer either. What else did I wanted to say?
Any more special mentions?
I didn't do my special mentions as well. So I'll go into my special mentions, but I think she has a quintessential... About Marilyn Burns as well. She has like a quintessential like 70s look as well.
Yeah.
It's so very 70s. Yeah. I think that really kind of... It's almost like, you know, like a found footage film almost. Because it is kind of quite cheaply made and stuff.
Well, yeah, because I think... You can't, if you use like all the high quality equipment that we've got now, like Red Epix and other cameras, you're not ever going to get that same grainy vibe. So you have to shoot in like 16mm film. And I think, which was what Rob Zombie films in.
Yeah, I think so.
But because it just adds that gritty potential. This could really happen.
Yeah.
This could have just been filmed.
Exactly.
Like,
this
is not like a snuff movie.
There's that element to it, though. You're right. There is that element to it. And honorable mentions. So you mentioned already two that I had. So Danielle Harris from Halloween and the Hatchet franchise. Dee Wallace from Critters, The Howling. I'd like to mention Adrienne Barbeau. She's in Creepshow and The Fog. Yeah,
yes.
She's really, really cool. She was also Catwoman in Batman the Animated Series. She's got she's got an amazing voice. Like she's also in a Swamp Thing, the original Swamp Thing movie, which is terrible. But that is what it is. And Asia Argento, who's in
Dario Argento.
You know it. And she's in like Triple X and all that other stuff. But yeah, she's brilliant. I kind of want to mention a few male screen queens.
Yeah.
Technically, I think they said that Bruce Campbell was kind of technically a screen king or screen queen, if you will, like one of the first male ones, because he is that first film. He's screaming, you know, Evil Dead 2. He's comically screaming throughout as well, cutting his own hand off and everything. I also wanted to mention Mark Patton, who is the star of Nightmare on Elm Street 2, who has just released or soon to release a documentary called Scream, Queen, because he was the first kind of openly gay actor to play a kind of male, the archetypal scream queen role as a male.
I think in It Chapter 2, Bill Hader, character, they come out at the end and he's gay, but they don't like...
It's not
that they outright say it.
He never kind of reveals it, but his reaction to his friend dying is quite extreme.
But he's wearing like a camel coloured shirt with little like brown crosses on it, and someone pointed out that Mark is wearing that in Nightmare on Elm.
Oh, really?
So that's like a little nod to a gay character,
because they've kind of the gay scene have kind of adopted this film as kind of, because basically in the film he's Freddie's kind of coming out of him, if you will, and he's worried about, you know, he's got a girlfriend and everything, but he's worried about releasing that, you know, that inner demon and getting involved, and he, you know, ends up in a gay bar and things like that. There's loads of kind of nods and winks to kind of gay culture and being gay and stuff, but it also affected him kind of, because there was a lot of around the times, obviously, like the AIDS scare and things like that, so it affected his career and he quit acting as well, and he blames the writer of it, so it sounds like a really interesting documentary.
I'd love to see that.
But he does this document, he goes to like conventions, he does like the cheesy dance and stuff like that, loads of like drag shows and stuff, so I think that'll be really interesting when that does come out. I'll definitely check that out. But I think we're done.
Oh, can I just mention one more first?
No, you cannot. No, yeah, of course you can,
just because we're talking about the big kind of franchise queens.
Okay, go on.
There's obviously, is it Heather Langenkamp, who was
from Nightmare on Elm Street,
and Felissa Rose, who was in the Sleepaway Camp movies. She plays Angela at the end, where it's
I remember watching that, and I was like, oh, I didn't see that twist coming. And I think your boyfriend Laurie, who's like, he messaged me, he's like, I love all these films. I was like, I can see why.
Yeah. Some brilliant quotes from Sleepaway Camp. I don't actually think it's Felissa Rose. No, it's not Felissa Rose in the second one, but.
No. I'll tell you who it is. It's Bruce Springsteen's sister.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Oh, believe it or not. She plays the same part.
It's a bit like Shelley Duvall from Shining.
Yeah,
like a bit of death where she pushes this girl's head in the toilet and she's like, do you know what that is? That's shit, because you're a shitty friend. Chucks her in the toilet, there's leeches, and she's like keeping her down underwater with a stick, and she's covered in leeches and shit. And she's like, you're a leech. Like, this is terrible. It's great though.
I remember there was that creepy guy in the first film where she chucks like, was it boiling water on his face or something? Some sort of chemical or boiling water. He's like, you can see all the blisters and boils and stuff. It's like, oh god, but he's like a paedophile anyway. So it's kind of like, yeah, you deserve it. You know, I'm just glad it didn't happen to me. But yeah. I think we're done. I think we covered everything. I think we covered, unless you want to come up with any more honorable mentions, you could do. So many like,
there's so many. There's so many to come.
I know. Well. Yeah. Yeah. Again, we've got some up and coming people. I think will make their name in there.
Florence Pugh.
Yes. Oh my god. Like, I'm still not sure how I feel about the whole film of Midsommar. I'm still kind of undecided. It was a bit long. I do like the folk horror element, but if there's anything I can kind of praise in that movie, it's her. She is incredible. I know she is going to be in the new Black Widow movie.
Yeah, she's playing the sister, I think.
I think she's playing Yelena Belova, who is basically another Black Widow, a younger Black Widow, or like a replacement Black Widow. In the comics she was, anyway. Yeah. And then goes like super evil and weird. But so I think maybe that's the partial play, or maybe that'll she'll start off as a friend and maybe more of a villain towards the end. Who knows? We don't know. But I'm really interested to see where she goes, because
I think she's going to be the next.
But, I mean, that the opening to Midsommar was devastating, absolutely devastating.
That transition, when you start in the garage and the camera
kind of shot,
the house, and you see the parents and then you see the sister.
The phones ring in. Very haunting.
Yeah.
And I was like, after that, I was like, fuck, where's this film go now? I was like, fuck me.
I love seeing Will Poulter in it as well. The kid with the eyebrows.
Didn't he do like CBBC?
No, he did Son of Rambo. We're the Millers. Jennifer Aniston, Anyway.
Anyway, it's been great having you on. Are you doing anything at the moment you would like to promote or talk about?
I don't really like to talk about.
Oh, okay.
It's nothing big at all. Okay. It's just like...
You're just not allowed to mention it.
Little things.
Things coming up.
Hopefully, I think I've got a job in October, a job in November, and a job in December. So
sick. It's good.
Can live.
Yes, yay. you can pay the bills. That's good. Where can people find you on the social medias?
Oh,
if they're going to get in touch with you,
I'm on Twitter.
I
think my Twitter name is @MacuskaRosheen.
I think you're right.
But you probably have to spell that.
Yeah, good luck with that. I'll tag you in it. Don't worry. Yeah. If people want to find you, I'll tag you in it. So it's fine. Because I'd struggle right now. you can find the podcast on Facebook. So it's @SecretBalls in the little search bar. Twitter, you can find me @Dan_Balls. Instagram, it's SpiderDanSecretBoards. And the podcast is available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, and many, many more. If you want to interact, make sure you use #PrepareForPrattle. Rasheen, thank you very much for coming on. It's been brilliant. Would you like to come back?
Of course.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, we'll have to think of something else.
The rest of Shocktober.
Yes. Shockphobia first. Yes, it's going to be good. I've got it all booked up, so you'll have to listen. But thanks again. And thanks for tuning in, guys. And I'll see you next time.